Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control, and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor, and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries, and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, well, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
I got in a huge tax situation in 2008 because my divorce was in 2005, and my accountant had gotten in cahoots, and next thing you know, my accountant died, and a girl that worked for him called my lawyer and said, "We have a problem." She had found on the floor all my tax forms for 7 years, signed and with the checks stapled to them. So I'm thinking, I done signed and I done stapled the checks. Well, they were cashing the checks, keeping the money, and not turning in the tax form. They took the money out of the account that matched the exact, because I wasn't watching it.
So like, you could just see 100,000, 600,000
deducted.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm thinking it's the check. Little did I know, it was some people taking the money out.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
How much money did that?
I ended up owing $22
million. Wow.
$22 million with the penalties. So now, wow. Listen to me, man. Me and my wife in 2008, I get the call. And the way I found out was, my lawyer called me and said, "Hey, man, we got a problem. You haven't paid taxes in 7 years. I said, "Man, what are you talking about? I paid taxes. I've been writing the checks and all this here." "Oh, man." He said, "This woman found your taxes in your accountant's office on the floor." Every tax check I had written and every was stapled together for 7 years, quarterly taxes, all of it. So he said, man, that's tax evasion. You can go to prison. And I said, what are we going to do? So he said, hold on, man, let me get some lawyers. So he called up some tax accountants out of Chicago. These boys was the best. And they set me down and they said, man, we got a major problem. He said, I got a friend working at the IRS. Let me take the first year. We took the first year and we sent it in. And he said, man, well, this is an old tax return. He said, man, we got a problem. He got more, but he didn't know it. And so we need a tax payment plan. So the tax payment plan was so astronomical that it was no way I could pay this. So the deal was, if you miss one payment, we come and seize all your assets and you go into jail. That was the deal. So the way I found out I was in real bad trouble was my accountants, my former manager, lawyer, got on a conference call to discuss it. But they sent out an email with the conference call number to my assistant. But it wasn't supposed to go to me. She inadvertently gave it to me. I wasn't even supposed to be on the call. So when I logged in, they were already talking, and I just didn't announce myself. And I heard them say, nobody can live under this amount of stress. There's no way he can pay the back taxes, pay his current taxes, and his living expenses. And I heard a guy on the phone say, what are we going to do when he goes to jail? And I hung the phone up. I went upstairs. I said, Marjorie, Dawson, I said, Marjorie, we got a problem. When I explained it to her, Marjorie started crying. She sat down and cried. My wife cried for 2 straight days. She said, Steve, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to work. I took every comedy gig in this country. I signed every contract. I went to work, man. I worked every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went to every venue, the Verizon, Staples Center, MCI, Phillips. I sold out the Fox. I went everywhere. I stayed on the radio, man. I'm coming, sold out. I never missed a payment. And for 4 years in a row, I was sending $650,000 a month to the government. Plus, I had to pay my current taxes.
New taxes.
I couldn't get behind on nothing. And I was living. So I was credit cards, running them up, paying them off. And finally, man, in 2012, I sold 49% of my radio company to iHeart. I got a check, man. I got me a check. And then, so I paid the government completely off to zero. And that was the first time, man, I could breathe. And then the pay-per-view, I said, let me get out of stand-up, because my wife said, Steve, you finna be a major TV star. You're going to have to stop telling the jokes you're telling, because you're going to ruin your career. Because she saw the political correctness turning. And so she said, Steve, you can stop if you want to. I said, baby, I can't ever stop telling jokes. It's who I am. She said, well, okay, but you got to watch what you say. And all of my TV shows are sponsor-driven. The radio is sponsorship-driven. I said, man, let me get out of this, because I need time to go do more TV. And so I did one last comedy show, but I did it on pay-per-view. And little did I know, for $8, you could watch my last show. I had no idea how many people was going to tune in for that. I made a lot of money. It was the biggest single paycheck I ever made. And next thing you know, I was back. Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And Master Ronnie saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know. He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a chap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No. Nope.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Okay, I ate something and it, once that expression went down the wrong pipe. So let me get my board straight here. The jump off topic for today, and we got open mic. The family goose that lays the gold eggs. The family goose that lays the gold eggs. I'm a got that inspiration last night. Early this morning, actually. So let me drink some. Let me, whatever I got in my throat, get that cleared out. I'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Bye.
All right. Today's jump off title is the family goose that lays the golden egg. Some of the topics that we'll cover on this before we go to the phone lines is the family goose defined. Exactly what is the family goose? Does your family own a family goose? Will you or your family need a flock of geese? And we'll go into e-commerce and tiny, tiny homes. We'll start off with that. This morning, let's go with before this morning, because it still is morning. Yesterday, I was talking to a high school buddy. We brought up a guy that we went to school with. The guy that we brought up, he got married in high school. And a lot of people get married in high school. But anyway. But at this particular school, it was a private parochial school. Very rare that something like that would happen. But in this case, it happened. So last time I saw the guy, within the last 12, 15 years, he was at one of these reunion things at the school, and he was there with his wife and they got married when they were teenagers and they're still together. Struck me was this guy was a master electrician. So I guess that's how what his name came up in the conversation. We were talking about solar energy. So I was wondering, you know what? I wonder if this guy installs solar panels. So I went online looking them up and then found that he is part of a family of master electricians. His dad, brothers, and I believe granddad, there are four generations of electricians. Four generations of master electricians, and they have a family business. Dealing with, electricians, so four generations. I mean, they showed the founder of the company and had pictures of him, the current CEO, or shared CEO, two brothers, their staff, and then, their progress through the years, company trucks. I mean, these guys had a fleet of trucks, man. And that gave them inspiration to, that family's, here's where we go with the family goose defined. The goose that laid the golden egg, and most of us know that parable or whatever you want to call it, Aesop's fable, that, you don't kill the goose that lays the gold eggs. So this family's goose, and not all families have a goose, but many do. But if you don't set things up properly, your family can kill that goose that lays the gold egg. But anyway, in this event, four generations, their goose is the electric business. They do residential, commercial, and government work. They do electrical work. I mean, all kind of size jobs. But, that's what they do. So that their family business, I don't want to name it on air, but it's fourth generation. So that gold goose has raised families, got people started off in life, provided summer jobs, retirement benefits, hospital bills, anything you can name. That family's golden goose, and that, you know, that's why it's, you know, they might be working on the fifth generation now, which I'm sure they are. So a family goose could be any type of enterprise that generates money that takes care of the family's financial expenses. Now, we're not talking about a job. This has got to be something independent of a job. Now, you could have a job and start a family business, and that business could become the family goose. And by the way, this family, fourth generation, they've got a flock of geese. Okay. So, but it all started with one goose that was laying those golden eggs, and, you know, was probably doing small electrical jobs, you know, just very small ones, but, you know, it just grew. So, and we talked about, like, Mignon Francois, her family goose, which is now two geese, are cupcakes. You know, that's what works for her family. So, there, I mean, Hilton Hotels, hotel rooms. Donald Trump's family, hotel rooms, high-end hotel rooms. So, if you don't have a goose in your life that lays gold eggs, get one. There are plenty of them around. And, you know, take care of it. Don't kill it. And it'll multiply more. And one stat I want to bring out here, and we'll get our gold goose, at least one of them, is e-commerce. You know, you get something, you put it up online, and you sell it. E-commerce, that's our gold goose, particularly one of the deals with housing. It could be rooms for rent, houses for sale, you know, land for sale, one of those three items, or all three. Those are three geese. Anyway, but we'll get into that later or tomorrow. Now, one stat I want to put out there, this deals with, and I'm just putting this suggestion out there, if you can get a goose that will lay a gold egg that mimics nature, I'm going to give two examples. A chicken. A chicken, once a hen matures and lays her first egg or two or three, the average hen will lay about 250 eggs per year. So if you got six chickens, six and averaging 250 eggs per year each, make that 24 hens. Six chickens, you know, for each week in a month. So that's 6 times 4 is 24. 24 hens laying on an average of 250 eggs per year. Excuse me, I still got whatever in my throat. That's give or take 6,000 eggs. Now, more than likely, you and your family are not going to eat 6,000 eggs in a year. So, for many people, a little flock of hens, and throw a rooster in there, or two. No, because Rooster's going to like to turn that one Rooster to all those hints. But something that can mimic nature, because nature multiplies. You open up, you slice an apple in two, and, you know, it's got multiple seeds in it. Same with, you know, other fruits and vegetables that fruit are seed-bearing. Nature is geared towards multiplication. Nature is prolific. It's abundant. With a pig, you know, a female pig comes to maturity. I believe they can breed, what, two or three times a year? And the litter, they might have 10 or 12 in a litter. That's a pig. Prolific. So try to figure out something that you can multiply. I'll give you an example. Matter of fact, I'm going to recommend a book that will help you think more prolifically. It's a classic self-help book by a guy named David Swartz. And the book is titled The Magic of Thinking Big. When I got that book, I bought that book back in the 80s. Early 80s, I read the covers off of it. But it will help you think bigger and more prolifically. I'll give an example. Matter of fact, I need to reread the book myself. I used to do, and I'm resuming, when I first was doing eBay auctions, what I would do is I would get a foreclosed house and something I needed fixing up. I didn't fix it up, and I would put it up on eBay. People still do that now. We'll be doing it here. Hopefully some of you will join us as partners. And we will do 7-day auctions. And this is before, we were doing this before Facebook Marketplace or even Craigslist. Anyway, so we put it up on eBay for a 7-day auction and, you know, make a profit of $5,000, $6,000 on average, sometimes $10,000 on average. So I remember a friend telling me, you say, you know what, if you did that 100 times, you make $1 million. Because I would do one auction basically a month. All right. But it took me a while, but I wasn't thinking like nature. That's why I'm putting this out there to you guys now. I wasn't thinking big or prolifically. That was just one, because it didn't take that long, you know, 15, 20 minutes to load up an auction. And then auction basically runs itself, you know, until it comes up with a winner, then you close the transaction then. So, man, it took me years for me to wrap my head around it, as simple as it is. So now, let me put it in terms of today's podcast. The eBay auction and auctioning off houses, and eBay can be a gold goose to a lot of people, and it is. There are people on there that are clearing over $1 million a year reselling used clothes. You know, they buy from A at a thrift shop or at a yard sale, then they put it up on eBay. And they got people earning over $1 million doing that on eBay. eBay Auto, you know, they're selling used cars. So in any event, what I'm telling you now is this. Because even X wasn't out. Whatever you do, now this is what I talk about memory. Instead of doing one auction or having one product, you got 30 days in a month. What do you need to do where you can do 30 auctions in a month? They now have, eBay also now has buy it now. So 30 items that you can people can buy it now. Or if you know whatever you want to do, five auctions a week, one auction a week, but it, you know, four auctions a month minimum. I'm going for 5 to 6 auctions per week, because I'm thinking like, well, bare minimum, think like the pig. Well, if you think like the hen, dropping one egg a day, give or take. Let's say that the hen drops 5 eggs a week, you know, out of a 7-day week. All right, that's 25 eggs in a month. So bare minimum, that's the way I'm thinking now. What do I need to do, or whatever you what do you plan on selling, in which you can make, earn a paycheck like that? Now, if you go into a convenience store like a 7-Eleven or any convenience store, they're mimicking nature with that menu. Well, because if you go in a Chinese restaurant, I talked about this on time, a Chinese menu might have 2 or 3 items on it, 200 or 300 items on it. So think of all, each one of those items is a gold egg. Each and every one of those items is a gold egg. Mimic nature in your business. And you can do it. It's a, you can have one item. All right. But on how many platforms do you want to put it on? Some people have one item and it sells, but it made a profit, but it's not a big profit. Well, okay, we'll put it on more platforms. I highly recommend the book, The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz. And tomorrow, which is, what's tomorrow, Wednesday? Yeah. Wednesday and Thursday, we'll go more into detail on our e-commerce. We'll be using that. That's our golden egg. I mean, that's our goose. We'll talk about our goal. We got 3 of them primarily. Actually, 4. Actually, no, make that 5. But we'll go through our gold, our gold eggs tomorrow. But our goose is e-commerce. Something that you can, like I said, e-commerce is real good right now. I'll put it that way. Take advantage of it before the regulators step in. Okay, 309 area code, your mic is open.
Good morning, L.A. I like that.
Good morning.
Golden goose, and what is your golden egg? And what was funny is you were counting 4, 5 different golden eggs. So you know that it's just not one, has to be one. It could be multiple, and that's the way you want it to be. It talks about nature. If you cut an apple open, you know that there's more seeds inside of it, and it grows. A whole one of those little seeds will not only grow an apple, but it will grow a tree that will multiply. So, yeah.
Right, and that tree could be part of an orchard. Right.
That's right. If we learn from nature anything at all, it's multiplicity gives you the bounty.
You got to think that way.
Yep.
You have to think that way. So, speaking of which, before I let you go further, Chris, I forgot I forgot to mention this. I got a text message this morning from a friend of mine, and she sent me. And we're working on getting the guy in this what I'm about to read to you. The text, and I'm reading it as it is on my phone. I'm creating tiny homes to end sleeping on the street. Okay, hold, let me read the whole headline. All right, the whole headline reads, I'm creating tiny homes to end sleeping on the streets after my brother became homeless. So the guy who wrote that headline is a guy named Ryan Danaeus. He's up in Canada. And, man, I barely scanned. Well, let me read the article. I called him this morning. I didn't realize they were like an hour behind us. But anyway, it says, a man is making tiny homes on wheels. But his whole tiny homes on wheels is a little bit different. On wheels to provide innovative shelter for unhoused people, inspired after his brother became homeless. Ryan Danaeus started building the portable homes in July, concerned about the levels of homelessness in the city of Toronto, Canada, where he was seeing a huge growth in tent cities popping up around the city. In a bid to provide a solution for local authorities, the 37-year-old construction manager spent 100 hours working on a prototype for 2 months building the first unit. Made from fiberglass reinforced plastic, the homes feature a bed, a desk, a sink, and a camping toilet. Ryan says he came up with the idea for building them after his brother became homeless 5 years ago, having struggled with addiction for 20 years. Now, the name of his, and I think the name of his business is Tiny Tiny Homes. Tiny Tiny Homes. The website is tinytinyhomes.ca. Once again, tinytinyhomes.ca. And on Instagram, it's tinytinyhomes.toronto. Excuse me, I made a mistake. Press that. Tiny Tiny Homes Toronto. All right. This guy might end up a billionaire. And anyway, I called him this morning. He was already on the job site because he works in construction. It was like 7 o'clock his time. I called this dude like 8 o'clock in the morning my time, but I didn't realize that, you know, Toronto was an hour behind my time. Anyway, he took the call. We had like a 2 or 3 minute chat. So he'll be on here. I just got to get a time when he'll be on here. And I think I posted it on our Facebook page. Or you can go to, what do you call it? YouTube, Tiny Tiny Homes. And it's you can take a look at what he put together. Which is, well, you'll see it. It's very interesting. So, matter of fact, let me check. Did I put it on? I think I put it on our Facebook page. Let me check that real quick. And then I'll go right back to Chris here. Let's see. I want to get that up before I forgot. Now I got to find my Facebook page. Group. That's weird. I can't find my own Facebook page. All right, let me try it a different way. Let's see. All right, I know I put it on my Facebook page. All right. For some reason, I can't find my Facebook page. Wait a minute. All right. Well, that's weird. Wait a minute. I'm determined to find my group. Oh, here it is. I found it. Which is Build Solar Homes. Yeah, it's on there. If you go to our Facebook page, and then it's two. Chris Collins has got something on there which that you can order, and Chris will come to you, ask you about that in a moment. But if you go to our Facebook page, Build Solar Homes at Earthwell Forest, you scroll down, and then you can see Tiny Tiny Homes. And if you can ride a bike, you got a tiny house. Okay. And then below that, Chris, now you've got a flag flyer. Tell us about the flag flyer, the cost, and how can they order it? Okay, Chris might have stepped away. Okay, we'll come back to him when he's back. And let me open up. Uh-oh, all right. I was about to go to Reba, but her call dropped. All right. So, anyway. Necessity is the mother of invention. This guy combined a bike with a house. Because people have built tiny houses on wheels that you can hitch to a truck or a car. And then people have built tiny houses on wheels that you can push with your hand. Well, this guy came up with something that you can just get on it like a bike and move that way. So, and I suspect somebody will come up with a, and with his, you don't need a license, but I suspect eventually somebody will come up with one that is motorized. Well, they got campers like that already, but, you know, but sort of like a motorbike. In any event, okay, we're waiting on Chris or Reba to come back in. 619-768-2945. If you got any comments, suggestions, trending topics that you want to discuss. Chris, are you back yet? Another announcement, we're going to be launching a housing morning show that will give you housing news on a local and global level. On a local as well as global level. You know, wherever you are, where can you find affordable housing? Or what do they define as local? I mean, affordable housing in your neck of the woods. Okay. Or a day after Labor Day. Anyway, but tiny, tiny houses. Go check that out. All right, I think my throat is almost clear. Okay, all right. While we're waiting on Chris to come back and Reba, we'll take a listen to this.
Good morning, guys. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about lumber prices today. It's been an interesting few weeks for lumber, a few months, actually. If you have followed our channel, you'll know that I've been building a barn, so it's been frustrating to me, extremely frustrating, especially after going for a month or two without having to place a lumber order and then placing some lumber orders and realizing how much more expensive it is to get lumber to finish this project. When I started this project last March, end of March, early April, lumber prices were so cheap at the time. I was considering buying one of those shed kits, but when I priced it all out and I looked at the cost of lumber and designed my own building, I decided that I was going to build my own building because I could build a bigger, better building for the cost of the materials of the shed kit. But man, have things changed. I can't even get lumber for the prices that I can't even get some cuts of lumber that I wanted to use. We're going to build wings onto the side of this building, for example. And I was going to use 2x6s as ledger boards for those wings, but then I decided that 2x6s wouldn't be enough because I'm either going to have to run 2x8 rafters or 2x6 rafters. And by the time I actually attach the...
I want to talk to you poor people, your middle class people, and the ones who thought they made it. Listen to this. I want to talk to the short and the tall. This ain't no racial matter. This thing concerns us all. Do you know one thing?
Prices going up and you're out of sight.
Listen. Charging $3 a half a pound for pork chops. That ain't right. And put this in your hat and smoke it.
Price is going up. Getting the best of me.
Listen. Do you know the only time I feel stink is when I'm looking at a cowboy picture on TV? And you listen to this. If you notice they're charging too much for a
black eyed pea and butter bean,
I can't even afford to put that back in my car. I went to the store the other day and had my basket stacked. Things cost so damn much, I had to throw it all back. How they look for a poor man to get ahead? Say they gonna charge $1.50 for a day old loaf of bread.
You tell me that ain't crisis.
We got to do something about these
prices.
Yes, we do. You tell me that ain't inflation. Price is about to drive me
crazy.
Listen, I think I'll write my congressman and my senator too. I'm going to even call the press, see what can he do. If you go to the store today with $40, the people call you a drag. You can bring that little old food bag in two little old paper bags. Do you know that? Look here, have you dug the price of sugar, flour, and meal? Things like that'll make a poor man steal. And they tell you, don't worry about it. We're gonna look out for you. You got a chance. We'll make it up to you with food stamps. Get on up there. God, listen.
Tell us more, man.
The Abbey soup today.
Talk about prices and prices.
I'll run you 2 1/4.
Talk about prices and prices.
The way things are going up.
Talk about prices.
Start paying for a drink of water.
Talk about prices and prices.
$75 for a pair of shoes and $50 for a hat. That don't make no damn sense for things to be costing like that. Things is getting so tough, my dog is even scared to bear his bone. When he comes back to look for it, some poor joker done dug it up and carried it home. My cat can't find a rat in the alley, all of them packed up and left. He's sitting down eating onions and about to cry himself to death. Talking about prices and prices, y'all.
Prices and prices.
I'm talking about prices and prices.
Prices and prices.
They got to bring them down so we can survive.
Prices and prices.
Do you remember the fuel prices?
Prices and prices.
I used to get in every line I saw so I could get
prices
my shit.
Prices and prices.
Daylight broke on me one day and I was headed
prices
for the cemetery. I said, hold it, y'all. I ain't
prices
going for that.
Prices.
You should have seen me making a U-turn with my
prices
Cadillac.
Prices.
I started saying, prices and prices.
Prices and prices.
Bring them down.
Prices and prices.
Prices and crisis, that, well, that's the way the world turns. 309, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, I was asking, the flagpole that you had posted on our Facebook page, how can people, if they're interested in that, get one?
They can
They can order one without the flag. It's $30. So I just encourage people to get their own flag. That way you can fly any flag you want to fly. And we'll ship it to you. And the money that is raised from very no tools required, very simple assembly. But at the same point, the money that's going to be raised from this product will go toward the projects like Rebus and others. You know, it's just time. Even the guy up in Canada, you know, ain't nothing wrong with what he built, because I guarantee you that plastic has an R value. So he's getting some kind of insulation value out of that. He created something that's the thing, you know. Not everything is the model for everyone, but right now we need to at least have models for people to become something. And, you know, these are small answers, you know, and that's the cool part about it. He actually did it for a reason, right? His brother went homeless 5 years ago. Everybody in the country needs to realize that somebody in your family, somewhere in your bloodline, they're homeless. They're staying on somebody's couch. They're staying on your couch. So you need to realize everybody in everybody's family, there is somebody that is living with someone else. That's a fact. I don't care. I've been sitting here looking at it. If they're not, they're living on the street by themselves, and they're looking for someone to stay with. Not necessarily to get them off the street, just to be around so they're not alone. One thing about homeless people, right, they're not all solidarity, saying, "Oh, that's just me, and I don't care about nobody else." They know they need to lean on each other. And if they can't lean on each other and get something that one of them has to, what's really funny is if you give them a pack of cigarettes, you give one guy a pack of cigarettes, next thing you know, when the other ones will see that, man, he's over there handing them out. He ain't being over here being greedy without it, because when he didn't have it, they had one. Or if it's, you know, I see it. So, you know, people do get to make choices, but it really sucks when you make choices for others that don't get a choice. They just get told or get towed away. Get put to the wayside, and it doesn't matter. I think y'all matter, and I think y'all have a golden egg. And if you don't have a goose, just like this, go find some geese. There's other geese out there,
right,
that you can help make sure that their golden egg is getting laid. And, you know, when it comes down to gold, it don't take much to keep you moving forward. Because from what I heard, if you take all the gold that's been mined all over this planet for the history of mankind, it's about a 30 by 50 building, 12 foot tall. That's the block of gold.
Right.
Imagine that. That is such a small little amount for everybody to have.
It's
a
not
gold
much.
Ring on. It's not much. And all your phones have gold in them. All your televisions have gold. You look at everything that has gold in it, and then when you think about how small that quantity actually is compared to everything else on the planet, you can see a little goes a long way. And it causes wealth.
That's
in every way.
That's true. But the thing is, with now you take gold, most people, I would say overwhelmingly the general public, is never asked to pay for anything in gold. And most people never ask, well, you can pay, you know, well, I'll stay at this table, but you got to give me a bar of gold or a cougar rand or something like that. Whereas, so I'm thinking, what's more valuable, a loaf of bread, a gallon of water, or some gold? Because we all need water, and we all get hungry.
That's all.
Well, guess who you talk to? What was that?
No, I was just agreeing with you. I think that's right.
Yeah. But well, gold's got a, but it does have a value. So, but well, I forgot which president took. Nixon took us off the gold standard. But then it was, I think, FDR, one of those presidents. There was a ban on gold in this country at one time. I forgot what president it was, though. I mean, you can own it legally now, but let me see. Look, that was it. Roosevelt, one was banned.
Oh, yeah, they would show up at your house. You didn't declare. And that's the thing. They're you know, it's just like kind of like the Holocaust. That's, you know, when they weren't allowed to have jewelry and stuff. And there's people that were able to hide rings and things that came from this area. And if you'd have got caught when they showed up at your door and you didn't declare and give them all of your gold, if they found out about it, you're dead. You're dead. You're done. Because money's worth more than your life. That's the way they see it. You have a value that you're worth, and that's your number. And other than that, if it costs more to keep you going, they would rather just let you go than what your worth is. And that's the sad part, to even think that a penny has more power than you, but it does. And that's what drove, you know, economy and just how, you know, think back into the years when they had the kings and all these different rulers of all these different lands, and they would go and take from the poor, make them work for them, but then go take what they have, was more than they should have. A lot of them lost their lives because of it, because they didn't want you to grow. If they didn't knight you and put that sword down on both shoulders, you are still like a muggle or whatever, you know. You're not a purebred. You come from this side of the track and you'll never be. And see, that's so stupid. To even think that because of where you live, it's valued on how smart you are or what kind of value you bring to the table. Because most people that don't have strive in ways to have, and they're more creative than the ones that just get up every day and have everything they want.
Right, that's true.
People that don't have to get up and create for the people that have. Now, they just need to be more appreciative of what it is they're getting from this person or persons that are doing. But, you know, there's golden eggs everywhere. Now, how do you like your eggs? Some of them are scrambled, some of them are fried. But does that golden egg?
Oh, that's a very good question. How do you like your egg? You're right.
How do you like eggs? Right. And, you know, some of them like them poached, hard-boiled, soft-boiled. And the thing is they're all going to basically give you a different experience when you bite into it.
That's true.
I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it depends on how you like it. They give you a different experience. You're right.
And if you also look
absolutely
at the structure of an egg, the structure of an egg is an arch. And it's an arch with a 360 roll to it, and it's so strong at those two points. The top and bottom of an egg is amazing because it's so hard to break. But also, it cracks so easy. So easy. And once it cracks, it crumbles. But as long as it's intact, it's solid. And it can endure You know, that's where they take him up to the top of buildings and they make little things out of straw, just straws that you drink from. And you gotta with that and some master tape, I want this egg to drop 1,000 feet and still be an egg when it hits the bottom.
Right.
You know, so now they're building a barrier around that egg. So I encourage people, if you get your goose and it's laying golden eggs, make sure there's a barrier around your egg. That's where you're going to be including everything around you to make that egg as much as it be as safe as possible for everybody that's going to have any wealth from it. I'm just sitting there thinking of kind of an analogy, a way to get people to understand, protect your egg. Don't let it just walk up and put your hands on it. Because anything
bump
into it could crack it.
That's true. Well, and people that need it, well, that's why I brought up, like, with the family business. Because, well, it's just like, well, a real simple example, like the family home, some people call it the ancestral home. If, you know, that you raise the family in and then, you know, the parents transition, they pass away, and then the children decide to sell off the house. That's, in my opinion, that's killing the goose that laid the golden egg. Because if you can keep that house intact, other family members who might need to start over, maybe they got sick, maybe they can't work anymore, and they need a debt-free place to live. You know, they got that family house to go to, which I consider the goose that laid that, you know, the golden egg for people, what people wanted to do. However, once it's sold, the grandchildren or the great-grands that come along, or even the children sometimes, they can't afford to start over because the price of that house has dramatically risen. You know, over the years due to inflation.
Well, the one thing about that is, you know, there is a family farm. Don't go get a mortgage on it.
No, don't.
You might think you need that money right now to do whatever it is you're thinking you need to do. But don't go get a mortgage on something that doesn't have one. Because the second you do, you are set up for failure and you're trying to bank off what someone else is going to do for you to keep it. And that, I've seen this over and over and over again, where people get these second and third mortgages on their property for something for vanity. Just so they look like they have more.
Right.
And then one of them gets sick, and it's gone. Everything's gone. And then they have to move out because the bank just took that house because there wasn't just one payment being made. There were three. And they were just looking for you to screw up or have a screw up. You don't have to be the one who screws up. Your circle can screw up. And you know, I got a company here in my city that these two people embezzled like $100 million out of their own company. And thousands of people worked for the company and had their retirement set up in that. They took it. And you know, that's a white-collar crime because they didn't get life in prison. You know, they built a building that was 1 million square feet, and that's where it wound up catching them because they just took the money that it was going to be to build that building, and they took it because the people were losing their eggs. Their eggs were cracking. they had it, and they had everyone else's egg, and they just cracked them, and it becomes scrambled. People that worked for them that all their life and had their retirement, they're gone because of these rich people. And this is happening all over. When if a business
right.
you're working for does not become is not profitable, they will shut you down. They do not care that it's just staying going and it will get better. They don't care. If the profit margin's not there, you won't be there either. And
that's
the bad part. You know, people don't realize that they're 90 days away from homelessness. Well, I realized it. One of the things I did to do something about it is I went and bought my house. I own it.
Good.
Outright. And then I not only bought one, I bought two. As soon as I bought the one, next week I went and bought a second.
Okay.
Now I got two. Now what's so funny is I'm about to rent one of them, and in 3 months, it pays me what I paid for it by me renting it.
Well,
in 3 months,
sense.
That house paid for itself. And I'm being cheap. I'm letting them have it cheap, you know, for the 3 months. But that's just because now I've got my money back. I still own my home. And I've got someone else that I'm helping. But at the same time, it's helping me because I'm going to take that money, and what am I going to do? I'm going to go buy another one. But I'm not going and getting a mortgage. I'm not borrowing money to go buy it. I'm buying them outright. And that's what I'm offering to people. I'm offering you something. If you just take an investment of $2,500 and you bought this much material and you built it and you got it standing there, it still needs to be finished.
Correct.
Make your next step. Close your
right.
end. But the material I'm selling you can stay outside for the next 100 years, and it'll still be the same material it was the day I sold it to you. Whether you built it or you didn't, you just got laying on the ground. It doesn't matter. But once you have it, you own it. Then go buy a little more and put it there with the pile if you haven't built it yet. But know that you don't have to find a storage spot, and it ain't going to cost you $100 a month. You know,
right.
just to store it. You got to realize this material is set outside in your yard and not hurt it. So you buy material that can do that, and then when you have the opportunity, you stand up and get it done. But once you have it closed in, now you have the storage building you need to bring the other stuff that you still need to finish it with. Put it inside of it. Let it sit there and wait for you to get to it. But do it in little pieces instead of trying to buy it all at once and have to go borrow the money and pay 300% to 400% in interest. That don't make sense. You're paying 3 or 4 times what you should be paying. And it's because you want it faster? That don't make sense. If you can still have it and say it takes you an extra year to have it. But you just had a loan you had to pay off for 6 years.
Right.
I'd rather wait a year and not have a payment because I guarantee I wake up tomorrow, it ain't going to make a difference whether I got that loan and I have it. I'm going to feel good because I wake up in my new shit and I have it right now, but I'm going to pay through the nose to get it. But if you buy everything on sale, all you got to do is go out and realize that every week stores have things on sale. They have
That's
things
true,
that go out of
sale. Walmart never has a sale, do they?
Walmart does not. Here was where I was going, though. They have a clearance aisle.
Okay.
So you don't go just buy off Walmart shelves. You go to the clearance aisle. And you
okay,
look
got
at
it.
What is there. And if you go to any other store, Walmart does not have sales. But Walmart will match every competitor's price. So if you happen to go and see this ad at a store and they got the product, and Walmart has the same product, they'll match it. Now, here's the best part about when you go to those Home Depots and Lowe's and the different ones. Each one of them will not only match the price, they will beat it by 10 or 11%. So now you not only bought the sale item, you're getting it, go to the other store, and you're going to get not only that sale, but now an extra 10% off. That's the taxes, people. And it's by you just being smart about how you're buying what you're buying. And realize that every store will have something on sale every week. Use those stores against each other, but they won't have the same product on sale every week.
No, they don't.
Oh, that's the key. So you have 4 weeks out of the month, and I'll give you an example of what I did for a newspaper 10 years ago. And when I sat down at the table, I told these people, on Wednesday, the coupons will come out. Now, this grocery store and this grocery store do double coupons. Now, this coupon's for a dollar off. Now, this product costs $1.78. If you take this coupon and go over to the Kroger, they will pay you 22 cents to take it. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? If you can walk in a store and walk out with a product and they paid you cash, did you get anything in value out of what I just said? Because this happens on a daily basis.
Okay.
People don't realize. Mm. I there was a 40% off coupon on 2 liters when I was 12 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I delivered this free paper, and I just happened to pull this one page out of every one of them as I rolled them up and folded them up to go throw them. They were free, and I pulled all the things out. I ain't saying it was right, but I went straight into business. Jules and Kroger's and Eagles, everywhere that had double coupons, I went there. Well, I had a 40-cent off coupon. The soda was
right.
89 cents. 89 cents was how much the soda was. So I'd go in, I'd hand them my 40-cent off coupon. I'd have a whole entire shopping cart full of soda. I just took every 2 liter off the shelf and put it in these carts and walked up there. I turn around, hand them these coupons. I paid 11 cents for each 2 liter. I sold them for 50 cents out of my basement. Going to the store, getting the product, and going and putting it in my basement and telling my family and everybody that I have 50 cents to do with it.
Okay. Well. Let's see. Chris, any development announcements you want to make?
Well, let's see. No, not particularly. We have quite a few projects going. One thing is, my website should be maybe up today. It might be where
okay.
We can share that out.
And that website address is what?
World Solutions, the number one, .com.
Okay.
I know that I've been having quite a few discussions this morning about it, and it'll be updated daily. We'll continue to put all these different things that we do, the shows and the links. We'll add those. So the website, but my thing was I wanted something to be able to get people to land on and start ordering. Give them a choice. They gotta be able to look and see. So it's showing all the buildings and stuff that we've already constructed through our factory. All those pictures and stuff will be there. And they're not finished either. I'm not showing finished product pictures. I'm showing you the framework. I want people to see it. I don't care what size building. I got buildings that are 20,000 square feet. When you look at that building, I want you to understand what it is. I want you to see it. And that's the impressive part. Now, your imagination is what it's supposed to look like at the finished product. It's whatever siding you want, whatever roof you want, whatever windows you want, whatever doors you want. That's your choice to make. What the interior you want, what bathroom, what countertop, them are your choices to make. I do not want to ship all that stuff across the country to anybody. I just want to give you the basis. You go right down to your local lumber yard, shop your specials, and finish your house as cheap and as beautiful as you possibly can, because you can get ground countertops when they're ready to discontinue them. If you go into your lumber yards and you look at all the kitchens that they have on display, every one of those kitchens will be for sale when they change that model. Realize those kind of things. These are little savings that will just blow your mind, and you get something amazing. That here they want, you know, $8,000 or $10,000 for this kitchen set, but they'll give it to you for $1,000 if you'll wait 90 days.
Right.
I'll wait 90 days.
Well, you got several people doing that, depending on, you know, what tiny house company they're, you know, building their home. That's normal, I guess.
Well, I just went in the lumber yard the other day. They had those cabinets. They were already taken and just had them sitting back in the back. And these were uninstalled cabinets. They had never been set up as display. They were just on the shelf in the back. And if somebody wanted to order it, you know, they would just be there and they just take it. And it's a discontinued model. And they had a whole bunch of them, but they had this one, it was an entire set of 7 cabinets. And I was like, so, well, how much for these gray ones right here? Because they would work real well even in a tiny house. And he's like, well, I don't know, $100. Or I told him I'd give him $100. Man, they palletized them, wrapped them up, and was ready for pickup the next day. And you couldn't buy one of those cabinets for $100.
Oh, you're okay.
If that makes sense. I mean, these are cabinets that cost, you know, $200, $400, $500 a piece. And I just got them all 7, for $100.
That's bargain hunting.
Man, that's all I do. I try to shop the sales. And the thing is use the sales to your advantage. Not only will every store match the sale, they will beat it. Now you're getting even more. You know, you need to get true value out of what you're doing. I do watch the sales. And it makes a world of difference. I'm not saying everybody has to be no super couponer, you know, but realize what a coupon is. Would you rather pull out that piece of paper or a foldable dollar bill or 20 or 50? That coupon's usually, when you're buying something that's a higher price ticket item. And if I save $50 by handing them a piece of paper, you're getting the paper.
Right.
You're not getting $50. You're getting that piece of paper.
That's true. You're right. Absolutely right. Of course,
and
we're going to wrap it up for today,
okay,
which is Tuesday. For some reason, it still feels like a Monday.
It does. It's just because of the holiday. It's been a long weekend.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what it is. I'm actually
right.
I'm feeling so, it, but I feel it is that.
Yeah, me too. Anyway, everyone have a good rest of the day. See you guys tomorrow.